I'm going to listen to the tape.
Item six, thank you, gentlemen.
We have no comments for the consultants.
Okay.
There is an upcoming conference that we're having. I passed out.
You got the flyer. Thank you. Thank you. Item six, consider and take possible action on request from Rodeo Hercules.
There's an O missing from Rodeo on this, but...
On your copy, yes.
Oh, okay.
We fixed it later.
Rodeo Hercules Fire Protection District to modify the contribution requirement for the 2014-15 fiscal year. Kirk?
Okay, so the this particular district is a very small district. They only have, right now, they have 12 firefighters in this cost group, and normally employer that small would be pooled with other employers for contribution rates. But in this case, since they never adopted the enhanced benefit formula, they're the only safety employer with the non-enhanced formula. They were put in their own cost group. And what has happened over the last few years with increasing costs, partly from retirement costs, increasing investment losses, changes in assumptions, they've responded by reducing their number of people on staff and their payroll. And those two things together have caused their contribution rate to skyrocket up to what will be, starting next month, will be 110% of the payroll will be the employer cost, which is fine, actually. That's the rate that we need on their now lower payroll in order to amortize their unfunded. But they're in a position now where they can, they've received a grant and they can actually hire back some of those positions. We're talking about increasing their active payroll from 12 people to 21 firefighters. So, you know, percentage-wise, almost doubling their staff. If we were to leave this alone, what would happen is they contribute this 110% of pay on this higher payroll. We would notice that the next time we do evaluation, we would see there's a gain, their UAL would go down, we would see their payroll is bigger, we'd calculate a new rate. 18 months later, their rate would go down. But in the meantime, they'd be contributing this enormous amount, you know, for 2 years, basically, which they really can't afford. So they asked us to take this into account and to lower their rate, and we said, well, that doesn't really work for Cicera. So we didn't simply lower their rate. We worked with them to try and figure out something that would work for both Cicera and the employer, and worked back and forth also with the actuary with Siegel. The solution we came up with, the proposal, is to, since we're trying to amortize their unfunded, is to take their unfunded contribution rate out of the contribution rate and just simply collect the dollar amount that's needed to amortize this unfunded liability, rather than have a rate. And that way, if they hire an additional person, of course, they have to pay additional normal cost. That person is earning service, but they don't have to pay additional towards the unfunded liability, any additional, which would turn out to be a contribution gain if we were to not make this change.
How long is the grant duration?
It's 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, that's
and
my question.
What happens after 2 years for Rodeo Hercules?
I don't
in terms of staffing.
And you can't
give me
another
answer to that question.
But okay, so let me back up a second. So by doing it this way, by collecting the dollar amount rather than simply adjusting the rate, if the number of people goes up, we still collect the dollar amount. If the number of people goes down, we still collect the dollar amount. So by protecting them from having to over-contribute, we also protect Cicera from possibly under-contributing when their payroll drops. So with this methodology, we don't care if their payroll goes up or down.
We still get the money.
We still get the dollar amount to amortize their own
funding. We're just changing the methodology for how they pay it.
Yes.
Or the formula.
Or how it's calculated.
How it's phrased.
Yeah.
How it's modified.
So, Kurt, this would take care of what the unfunded liability is as of, I guess this was calculated as 12/31/12,
yes.
Right? So what happens if in 2014 we have investment losses, or we don't meet 7.25% investment return, and there's further loss? And you've put them on this fixed schedule, and we are adding more to the unfunded liability. How does that factor in?
Okay, so that'll factor into the next valuation. This dollar amount is only for the upcoming fiscal year.
For this the current
next
year only.
This current, well, starting next month, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the next valuation will determine for them a new rate. If they want to do that as a dollar amount, then we do the same thing, convert that to a dollar amount. Whatever it is for that fiscal year is going to depend on the next valuation. This proposal is only based on this valuation for one fiscal year.
How many years is this UAAL amortized, the fixed rate amortized over?
It's the 18 year layers.
So some of it's only has 10 years left.
Right.
These are all combined into one amortization amount for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And if you look at their cost group in the valuation, where the amortization layers are all laid out, there's a certain amount for each one. They're all over different periods. And then there's a total amount being paid. So then that total amount that we said they have to pay, and they're going to pay it a year and a half later, that's where we get this dollar amount.
Mm-hmm. This is only an agreement for 1 year.
And it's only for 1 year.
Karen and John?
I see on page 165 of the report, the cost of living is pretty high, or compared. Where did that number come from?
What page are you on?
Which report?
165.
165.
Oh, I think it must be the electronic.
She's in the valuation.
It's the report. It's Kurt's memo.
Page two. Okay.
Page two.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so we're looking at the dollar amount or the rate?
Looking at the rate.
Well, 31.78%?
The rate is 6.6. Under, the way I'm looking at it, it says cost group 12, normal
yes.
cost. I mean, either what it currently is and what it's proposed to be, it says the cost of living is 6.6, 6.07, and 5.21.
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out, because I know.
I see.
Where is this? Is this our cost of living?
This is the percent of payroll. So you're looking at the normal cost numbers, which we're not actually changing. But so what this represents is the employer's portion of the normal cost of the COLA benefit, which is half the total cost of the COLA benefit. For each of these tiers.
I'm just trying to figure out how the COLA, you're talking COLA benefit, so this is a part
of this is percent of pay to fund the COLA benefit.
Over the whole
it's
lifetime.
It's the percent, okay, it's not the COLA, it's the percentage of pay
yes.
to meet the COLA.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's actually only half of it, because the member pays the other half.
All right, I thought that was the COLA that we...
No. What this says is that a 3% COLA is quite expensive.
Okay, so which I agree with. So then also, from what I'm hearing you say, or I want to confirm, that should we pursue this, there's no negative impacts to Sisera.
No. This will actually eliminate one source of potential gain or loss from the whole equation.
Okay, and so let me just make sure I'm hitting all my... I share Jerry's concern on the SAFER grant. I know those are for shorter periods of time, but you're saying that it won't matter whether staffing goes up or down on that. And let me just check. So that one. Okay, thank you.
Maybe my question was really just a continuation of Karen's, put in another word. Is there a precedent issue here that we need to think about? In terms of doing this
yes.
for one group and not for
there we go.
Yes. anybody else.
Yes. Now, we said that this is, first of all, only being considered because of the particular facts and circumstances of this situation. And, we still have a right to change our mind later and do something else. We're not making a promise to this employer that we'd always do it. And we're not making a promise to any other employer that we'd do it for them. This one's very... This one's unique in that they're in their own cost group. This method wouldn't work if they were sharing the cost with another employer, first of all. We have to say that we're not making precedent.
Go ahead.
We're just doing it for this one situation, for this 1 year, And any other requests would have to go through the same process.
This is just with our policies.
Yes, this is all done in accordance with our 18-year funding policy. We're calculating the same, using the same method to get this amortization payment to pay down the unfunded liability.
Scott and Deborah?
I'm in support of the recommendation here. I view this as a one-off situation of sorts. It is somewhat unique. We're not establishing a precedent if we take this action. The accommodation, if you will, is through July 1, 2014 through June 30, 2015, if I've understood the proposal correctly.
Yes.
It's for that year based on these circumstances, and it doesn't, so that any subsequent fluctuation in employment won't matter. So I'm speaking in support of the recommendation that Kurt has provided and that Siegel has reviewed and collaborated on. Some of you know I was the previous general counsel for Rodeo Hercules for many years, 16 years. I've been retired from that position for the better part of 13, somewhere in there. So I have no compunction about participating and voting in this matter. I think enough time is attenuated. So I'm supporting the recommendation. I won't make a motion until people are through commenting, but I wanted you to know those themes.
I think Gary got
it. Yeah, I just have, and it goes along with what John was questioning. Are there any other employers that fit in this same category and may, after we make this decision, because I'm kind of in favor of making the decision, but may come after us and say, hey, you did it for them, will you do it for us?
What makes them different from the other fire groups?
Same way, same question.
It's their size, the fact that they have 12 safety employees. The other
first five the same size?
No, they're not. First five? No.
Yeah. The issue here is the dramatic drop in.
First five is not in their own cost group. They're pooled with the county.
First five isn't in that situation, and probably none of our other employers are going to have a 50% drop in employee number. And that's really what's necessitating this, is that drop, and now, at least for a short period, hopefully for a longer period of time, but it's guaranteed for a short period of time that the numbers are going to come back up as far as number of employees. So,
well, you mentioned that they didn't adopt some policy way back when.
Right. They didn't adopt a 3% of 50 formula.
Oh, see.
So because of that, Siegel has always put them in their own cost group because they have a different benefit.
And now that that's no longer available, they couldn't. I was trying to think how to get them into the other safety pools. But if they don't have that same thing, I get why that can't happen.
You're at 2% of 55, I think.
2% of 50.
Okay. I'll make the motion that we follow the recommendation that Kurt is. There's still some question. Go ahead.
My question is regarding to the restarting of the 18-year layer.
Oh, the request.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And is that going to be further discussion or will that be separated out of this or?
But that's separated out of. Our recommendation, they in the original letter, so he's talking about in the original letter from Chief to myself, they requested a restart of the amortization period. And this is something that the employer they can request anything, but specifically there's something in the statute that says they can request this. Our answer to that was that, we can't do that for July 1. You know, we're not going to change our amortization policy back 12/31/12. I mean, we just adopted a funding policy, right? So they're going to consider that, and they realize it's more of a policy decision than this little change in the methodology. So they want to consider whether they even want to request that. So they haven't made a formal request to the board to do that yet.
This memo.
They may do that in the future.
Jerry,
just a couple of procedural kinds of questions.
I'm sorry, Jerry. I was looking here.
If Jerry Holcomb still has questions, because I'm just going to make the motions. He'll have questions.
If I read this correctly, is they're figuring their on their budget for the next fiscal year retirement cost $2.6 million for retirement costs. So is this, if I tie this back to your note, then it reduces their cost to $1.5 million? In essence, is that right?
Mm-mm.
I'm not tying the right numbers. So what's the savings that they, is it over $1 million then that they?
Right. So no, it's not over $1 million. So if you, are you looking at this one?
Yeah.
Okay, so look at the, in the salary, in the proposed SAFER budget of the 405,000.
Right.
They're saying, well, when they add all these people, if they have to contribute 110% of pay, and
right.
I'm not sure what else is included in that 457,000.
It's 2.6.
Right?
Yeah.
So instead, essentially, when they add those 405,000 in payroll, they're only paying normal cost on those additional people. So that's, if they're in PEPRA, that's only like 17% of pay.
Okay. And then I take it that you were able to let him know that we couldn't get back to him by January or June 11th? He said he had to have an answer by then.
I responded to him by June 11th. Yeah, he asked for a response by June 11th, and I gave him one.
Was it one that he liked?
Was it?
Yeah, he didn't say he wanted the final answer
or
action by June 11th.
I was taking it too literally then.
Yeah, he was. I moved as quickly as I could. I mean, May 21 was when we got the letter, so.
Okay.
Cool. I just want to say I'm in support of this. I think it's a good idea. Hopefully, it will help them. And I have a question. Why is it that the, this may be good to Paul Angelo there. Why is it that we always display the unfunded liability in relation to the employee? I feel like it skews what's really going on to the employees, the employers, and the public. Is there a reason that they always show the unfunded liability in relation to payroll and per?
This is Paul Angelo, the Siegel Company. The reason is that we normally collect the entire contribution as a percentage of payroll. So even though it's calculated as a dollar amount, for the larger employers with more stable payrolls, we express the entire contribution as a percentage of payroll. That way you only collect one number. So when the employer is writing a check, they know what their payroll is. They multiply it by that total percentage, and that's the amount they send in. Then the retirement system can track it as this part is normal cost and this part is unfunded. But to some extent, it actually doesn't even matter. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that they tend to budget these things as a percentage of payroll, and you tend to collect them as a percentage of payroll.
Okay. Thank you.
Paul, just for the record, Kurt has discussed this with Siegel, and Siegel is on board with the recommendation or what the board is proposing being done.
Yeah, that's correct. The only question we would ask is, you know, this is being done for 1 year,
yeah.
And the question was asked, you know, well, what happens if their payroll changes? So it means that you would want to, you don't want to be in a situation where if their payroll goes down, then you say, oh, then they go back to saying, or if the payroll goes down, you know, that they that now they like the other approach. You know, that we calculate it as a rate based on higher payroll, then payroll goes down. So I think it's appropriate to adopt it as a 1 year action, but I think I think we would want to bring it back almost. I can't think of a circumstance where we wouldn't want to do it probably at least another year, at least while this grant is running, that kind of thing. So
right, we're going to get another evaluation next month or within 2 months. So they're going to have the same situation in those figures.
Okay. So we have to let them know in the letter. This is what was approved, for assuming it was. It's good for 1 year.
Right, yep. For a period of time.
Okay. Expiration date.
Jerry's going to make a motion. Deborah, did you have a comment before that?
Yeah, I just two things. One, I do have grave concern over changing methods and making exceptions and going down this path, setting precedents for this type of action. I understand the situation here, and I think Jerry is going to make a very narrow motion that will exclude this from happening with other employers. The second part is, Kurt mentioned as a part of the rationale for this move is that what happened with the 18-month lag in the rates, because we adopt them at one time and then there's an 18-month lag before they're actually put into place and collected at that rate. And I think this is something that we need to address, that 18-month lag, because it doesn't need to be an 18-month lag. Really, this, you know, that lag goes both ways. And So this particular employer did receive the benefit of that lag by not having the rates increased, you know, 6 months earlier or maybe even 12 months earlier. And the flip side, when, you know, those rates would potentially go down, they're not getting the benefit of them going down. So what they're asking for is to get the benefit of them going down and sort of shortening the lag now when we don't shorten the lag the other way. So that's just a general comment. I think that this board needs to take up that part of the calculation that is the 18-month lag and shorten that lag time.
Jerry?
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion that we modify the employer contribution requirements for cost group number 12 for the July 1/14 to June 30th, 15 fiscal year, based on the proposed methodology proposed by our assistant CEO.
Second. Any further comments? Okay. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
I'll abstain.
One abstention. Deborah? Motion carries. Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you, Kurt.